Hi, my name is Jessica Minnell. I'm the winemaker for Mercer Estates, and I invite you to check out our website at mercerwine.com where you can learn more about us and join our wine club. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
The Mercer family has been farming for 5 generations. They've been actively managing the same property in the state of Washington since 1886, first raising crops and livestock, and today they oversee 2,000 acres of vineyards in the Horse Heaven Hills AVA. Joining us today on Wine and Dine is Jessica Minnell, who's the winemaker for Mercer. And I've had the pleasure of enjoying the 2012 Mercer Canyons Cabernet Sauvignon, the 2013 Mercer Estates Pinot Gris, and the 2011 Mercer Reserve Ode to Brothers Red Blend. Jessica, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you for inviting us to the interview today, Lynn.
Before we started recording here, there was a lot of noise in the background. Are you in the winery proper?
Yes, and we're doing a bunch of cleaning up of the cellar, getting ready for harvest. So we asked the guys to turn the equipment off to quiet things down for the moment.
So what varieties are you going to be taking off the vine first?
It's a race every year between Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Gris. Typically, Sauvignon Blanc is the first grapes to hit the crush pad.
Oh, whoa. And is your Sauvignon Blanc totally stainless steel, or do you put it in a little bit of oak?
No, we're going completely stainless steel. The fruit that we are working with is from one of our partnership vineyards in the Yakima Valley, which it's a little bit, all of eastern Washington is extremely hot and dry. Yeah. The Yakima Valley is just a slightly cooler region, which is where we have our aromatic whites, like the Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Gris, and Riesling.
Okay.
And so that we get one block of one vineyard, Spring Creek Vineyard, and the varietal characteristic that comes out of this vineyard is for both Sauvignon Blanc, and we also get some Riesling. It's very green, grassy, mineral, flinty fruit for the Sauvignon Blanc and the Riesling. And so the Sauvignon Blanc tends to be a little more New Zealand style, lots of grapefruit, lots of fresh cut grass and hay aromas, and really racy acidity. So it's such a beautiful fruit. I try to do is just showcase what the vineyard's producing and not mask anything with oak, and we let it just go completely dry. So it tends to be, you know, for people that really enjoy Sauvignon Blanc, the style that we're going for.
Yeah.
A little more pushing the envelope and edginess with it.
And how about the Riesling? I'm curious, is it finished dry?
No, we do. It's off dry. So it's around 10 to 12 grams. So probably perceived in the mouth to be fairly dry because of the acidity.
When you first graduated from Enology and Viticulture from Washington State University, was your first winemaking job in Australia or in Washington State?
Well, I actually started my career as a viticulturist.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. I mean, that is smarter than smart.
Well, that was what my focus was in college, and my master's was, I did all my research on wine grapes and was lucky enough to be hired by what is now St. Michelle Wine Estates. So I was a viticulturist for a large company, which means I got to visit quite a few vineyards and become really, really familiar with a lot of the great vineyards in Washington State. And then after a few years of doing that, I was curious about winemaking and had always wanted to travel to Australia. And it was one of those, well, you know, you can kill two birds with one stone and, you know, go to work a harvest because easy to work harvests in other countries. And so I quit my job and went to Australia and as a cellar rat. And so when I came back to the States, I pursued winemaking from that point on for career.
What was your master's thesis on? What was your research specifically related to?
It was all on grow tubes used in vineyards.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You probably have seen, if you've seen driven by a young vineyard, a lot of people use these either plastic tubes or what looked like cardboard tubes. And back when I was in school, everybody was using them without really any idea of what the benefit was. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the they were being sold to as, you know, oh, they increased photosynthesis, or, you know, and so we just tried measured every parameter we could to explain, which is great to have research that was so applicable to the industry. The growers really wanted, you know, something that they could take hold of and utilize right away.
When you were at St. Michelle Wine Estates, did you work at all with Ernst Lohsen?
A little bit, because, you know, when he came out, he would go out around and visit the vineyards. The majority of the vineyards that he was working with were not in the region. I was covering the Wallook Slope, which is probably one of the hottest areas in Washington State, so not the Riesling capital, but it's more the Cabernet and Syrah capital up there. So he didn't really pull a lot of grapes from the region I was in. But, of course, when he came to visit, it was everybody, you know, all the team was involved.
What is the weather like in Horse Heaven Hills AVA? Because a lot of people are consumers, not necessarily people in the trade, but consumers might not be familiar with the name Horse Heaven Hills.
Yeah, definitely. It's so the Horse Heaven Hills is one of the more popular appellations in Washington State. A lot of winemakers are seeking grapes from that appellation because it is one of the warmer sites. And but the majority, the Horse Heaven Hills is a plateau that drops off to the Columbia River, and so the majority of the vineyards are planted along the ridge above the Columbia River. So it's a more moderating effect with the river right below the vineyards, a nice slope, so the air drainage is great. It helps with frost protection and not having as much possibility of winter damage during the really cold winter months here. And it's a little windier, so that is a big help with pest and disease controlling canopy.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great attributes to the appellation, as well as it's the characteristic of the fruit that comes from the Horse Heaven Hills tends to be a little more elegant and refined. And I think that maybe a lot of winemakers are interested, you know, trying to get fruit from the Horse Heaven Hills for that reason, that it's just really beautiful fruit to work with, and the wines that you can make are, you know, powerful yet still have a lot of elegance, and I think that's, you know, model winemakers are really find that attractive.
The founders, Rob and Brenda Mercer, seem to be really philanthropically minded with a wine label that's dedicated to charity. And also in February, this past February 2014, they donated towards Washington State University's new Wine Science Center.
They donated $250,000. Oh. And yes, the wine that's 100% for donation is called Eagle and Plow. It's a really neat story that Rob Mercer has been a Marine and went back to Afghanistan after September 11th, re-enlisted. And then also our vineyard manager, his best friend was on Flight 93 that went down during September 11th. Mm-hmm. So the two of them planted a block called Block 93. It has 911 vines. It's all Cabernet Sauvignon. The Mercers, our vineyard manager, John Derrick, they all planted the vines themselves. And 2012 was our first harvest off of that block. And so we created, it's a Cabernet called Eagle and Plow. And all the proceeds from this wine will go to survivors of 9/11, the Boston One Fund, all the first responders, charities. You know, it's really cool project to be involved with. It's,
definitely good positive energy.
Yeah, and I, you know, beyond that, I've never seen the Mercers turn down a request for any donation at all. Wine, dinners, anything. They're very giving. They're a wonderful family to work for.
Talk to us about this Ode to Brothers Horse Heaven Hills Reserve.
Yes, we have four reserves that we make, and the Ode to Brothers is the name comes from, it's paying homage to Rob and Will Mercer, their father and his two brothers. There were three brothers that were somewhat the pioneers of what's happening in the Horse Heaven Hills today. They were the first ones to plant wine grapes in the Horse Heaven Hills in the 70s, and they were very forward-thinking individuals and really laid the groundwork for what we're all working with today up there. So this is ode to them, and it's a Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre blend. So the 40% Grenache, 40% Syrah, and 20% Mourvèdre which comes from our Spice Cabinet Vineyard, which is one of our little gem vineyards that we get the majority of the grapes here at the winery. So it's a beautiful blend, and it's a neat way to pay respect back to the family.
With all the reds that you make up there, just last quick question, do you make a rosé that is sold like to the wine club members?
We sure do. We actually are making, we've been making a club rosé for the past few years, and we've added a larger volume rosé that's out in the market that's a different blend completely, and we love the rosé and look forward to making it every year.
So the website is mercerwine.com for people to learn more. Jessica Minnell, we thank you so very much for joining us this week on Wine and Dine to talk about Mercer Family Estates wines.
Thank you so much for having us, Lynn.
We will have links up for you to learn more. You're listening to iWine Radio.